With all of that said, we dive into the Word of God. We've been hanging out in Psalms. We've been looking at then the truth that God has a plan and a purpose that He has put on repeat right in our Word, right in the Scriptures we have, but hopefully not just in the Scriptures, but in our hearts and our minds. The last few weeks we've talked about what does He do and what can we learn from that. Last week we learned one thing that can change our lives and change our journey, and that one thing is being in His presence. Hopefully last week you spent some time and actually set aside some of the other things that you were pursuing that you desired and said, I just want to be with You, Jesus. I just want to go for a walk with You. I just want to talk with You because one day in Your presence changes everything. But today I have another question for you. How many have ever had a bad day? How many have ever felt like that bad day just kept getting worse? Ever notice that when you're tired and things aren't going like you had planned, it seems like everything is magnified and heightened? You know, when you're stressed and things aren't going, it's like the dinner burns. You know, everything's running behind, or a problem that I just had, I feel like I'm living that this weekend. You're rushing, you're doing all these things, and you can go from a beard to having no beard very quickly. In those moments where it felt like I was so busy, so crazy, running all different places, feeling stressed, feeling worked up, in those moments you start rushing, and one thing happens to another, and it seems like everything you touch breaks. Have you ever been there? That was me last night. I had another illustration, but I'm living it. In those moments, everything was falling apart, things were going wrong, things were happening, I was doing some other stuff, and it seemed like everything I touched was breaking, and I'm like, I'm going to my safe spot, I'm gonna get ready for church, I'm gonna pray, and I'm gonna shave and get my beard all trimmed up nice. I even had a little fade going, I was feeling pretty good. I had this new razor. And then in that moment, while I was praying, while I was talking and thinking about all the things that were going wrong, my brain was rushing, I was a little bit tired, and then it was trimmers gone wild. In those moments, I realized that what I thought was closely tied to the back wasn't, and all of a sudden, as I went to go do a moment, it was no longer on the setting I thought it was, but it was on really short. And I remember coming back out, and I was frustrated, and I sent a fun text message to some of our staff and said, it happened again. And in those moments, I also went out and talked to Jen, and you ever had those boiling point moments where I'm like, babe, what is going on? And then I realized the truth that I was living the message that I was about to preach. Maybe in a small part, but I think we've all had those days where either fear, stress, problems, crises, or just being tired leaves you overwhelmed and you are left with a choice. What am I going to do now? Because as we're going to see in the scripture today in Psalm 34, life is not always going to go as you see planned. Life and people are not always going to meet your expectations. You can't always control what happens to you or what is even happening sometimes around you. But today, you and I have a choice, and that choice is, how will I respond in the midst of it? And so today we're going to look at this moment in time of David's account and David's life. We're in Psalm 34, as we're about to read, David is going through it. Not only is he in the fields, but he's rightfully in the fields. Everything is going wrong around him. We see this story played out in 1 Samuel of when he would be writing and penning this. But this is where we find him of the words that we're about to read. Right now, he's running for his life, and he finds himself in enemy territory. All hope seems like it's lost, and he's like, what am I going to do now? He's actually having to pretend to be mentally unstable in this moment so that he can live again. So at this present time as he's writing this, we see the account that at this moment, drool, he's left it so much that drool's running down his beard. He's scratching on posts and on gates. He's acting all these things out, hoping that he can just live. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a pretty rough day. But how does he respond? Does he get angry? Does he live disheartened? Does he live furious? Is he mad at God? Is he mad at everybody else around him? Is he so frustrated that nobody wants to come around him? Or instead, does he respond in a different manner? And does he teach us to do the same when life doesn't go the way you had planned? So today, let's look at Psalm 34, verse 1 to 4, and see how we should respond and what we can do in the midst of the days when things don't go as planned, or when we're filled with fear, or when we're overtired, or when all those other things are happening. How do we respond in the midst of hard circumstances? And this is what it said. It says, I will praise, or I will bless the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt or glorify or magnify his name together. I prayed to, or I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He freed me from all of my fears. So we see this truth that's played out. David, in the midst of all that is going on, the circumstances that seem overwhelming, the unmet expectations of, I thought this isn't how my life was going to play out. And he shows us the first truth this morning, that how you respond in the good and bad seasons isn't dictated by someone else. It is a choice. How you respond today when things don't go your way, when things aren't playing out, comes down to a choice. How am I going to respond in the midst of this? What personal commitment and conviction will I hold in the midst of all that is going on around me? Because as we said at the very beginning, I want to give you this truth. You will not be able to control every circumstance of your life. You cannot control always what happens to you, although we would like to do that, although it would make our lives easier. We've all lived a life long enough in this place to realize that sometimes things are out of our control, but the one thing that is in your control is how you will respond in the midst of it. So David shows his commitment and his conviction with the very first word, I will. Everything is going wrong around him. Everything is hard. There's unmet expectations. He's been anointed to be king, but now he's on the run. He's in enemy territory. This wasn't how he pictured his last few days to go probably in that week. It wasn't one of those moments where he woke up and said, I think this is how I'm going to script my day. But he chose with conviction in his heart, and he says, I will. I will. And what is he about to do? He's about to praise. Why do we spend time in praise and worship? Why do we live that in how we live? Because of some of the truth that's about to be unpacked today in this scripture. That praise is a weapon. Praise frees us. That no matter our circumstances, we will praise. Because living a life of praise is always intentional. It is always a decision. It is always a choice. Some of you in this place today or online, you came in and you are going through what seems like hell. But when it came time for worship, you sat there and said, I may not feel it. I may not want to do this, but I will praise. I will bless the Lord. I will extend my worship and give back praise and give back the thankfulness of who he is. Today, this is we're living this out. Your car might have broken down on the way here and you had to walk the rest of the way. You might have fought with the kids in the back seat, and we've all maybe been there once or twice if you've got kids. But when you get here, you may not control the circumstances, but will we control the conviction and the commitment that says, I will? When things aren't going your way, what are you saying I will to? He says, the next one, I will bless the Lord. And he uses the word Barak. It's one of the terms that are often used for praise in the Hebrew language. And it actually means to kneel down or to bow down with reverence. So he's saying, I will bless the Lord. I will praise the Lord. I will give him my praises. I will give him my worship. I will bow down and kneel down in reverence before my God. Because when we think of praise, we always think of singing. But praise is actually a posture way before it's a song. When we give praise, it's not because everything is good around us. It's not because all of our things that we've prayed for have come to pass the way we think it should be. We give praise and we give worship because we have postured our hearts in a place of reverence, saying, God, you are God and I am not. I bow my knee before you, that in the midst of the circumstance, in the midst of things I don't understand, you are still God, you are still on the throne, and I will. I may not feel like it, it may not be in those moments, but I will bless the Lord. Your praise will ever be on my lips. Because before it comes from our lips, it starts with a heart bowed before God. So when does he do it? As we're building this place of when this choice should occur. He said that I will bless the Lord when? At all times. So he didn't say, I will bless the Lord when I feel like it. I will bless the Lord when things go the way that I deemed fit. I will bless the Lord when everything's going, you know, according to plan. I will bless the Lord when all my expectations are met. I'll bless the Lord when I find that guy or that girl that I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. I will bless the Lord when my car's working and not falling apart. No, he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. Whether in the cave, whether in peace, we should bless and boast in the Lord. It's a choice and a response of the heart, not our circumstances. He's building a bit of a case that I think if we would grab hold of today, it would change how we live our lives. How many have ever been around, don't look to the person next to you, don't nudge them, don't out them like that, but how many have ever been around a Christian that looks like, you know, been sucking on a lemon? And it's just like, oh, you know. In those moments, this is helping us in our journeys to be reminded that we should be people that praise and give honor and give blessing, that choose today that no matter our circumstances, he is still on the throne, that we are heirs with Jesus Christ, that we have a hope, that we have a future, that we're the head, not the tail. But today I want to tell you, it is a choice of how you will respond. We should be the people who have the most hope, the most joy, the most peace. It doesn't mean that everything is going to be easy, everything is going to go as planned, but we start to realize the truth that I am convinced, I am committed, I am convicted that I will bless the Lord. I will bow my knee before in reverence to my King, to my God at all times because he is always worthy. Church, are we choosing that? Are we displaying that for our friends, for our families, for our kids, for the next generation? That's what David is teaching and leading, and that's what he's playing on repeat for the generations that would have read these Psalms, is things are not always going to go as planned, but in the midst of it, I will bless the Lord. His praises will ever be on my lips. We always have a reason to praise because he is always worthy, he is always deserving. So it's a choice. So today we realize the first truth, that it's a choice. Today, how you respond in the midst of the circumstance, whether the cave or whether in midst of peace, is a choice. The second is, what are you magnifying? Are you magnifying and making bigger the wrong thing or the right thing? Because one of the reasons why David is reminding us that in the midst of it we should praise is because when we have those moments of praise, how do we do that? It makes what we put as a focus bigger and what we take our eyes off of smaller. When you're having a bad day and everything's going wrong, did you realize something that was small just ever gets blown out of proportion? Ever have that? You get so frustrated, you know, you maybe burnt the pizza or you burnt something, and it shouldn't be a really huge deal. But because your day's been going on there, everything is heightened. I can't believe that you didn't get that. We get upset. We say things, do things that we never thought we would do. Why? Because they've been magnified. Ever been in a scary situation or you're maybe watched something you shouldn't have watched and then every sound in the house feels like it's louder? You know, you're home alone as a kid. You're home alone. It's one of those first times. Every creak in the house, you think someone is there, something bad is happening. Why? Because it magnifies. What we put our focus on, where we turn our attention to, makes something bigger and something else smaller. So how do we praise in the midst of difficult seasons? Because I don't know about you, but it's hard sometimes. It's hard when everything's falling apart. It's hard when you get a bad diagnosis. It's hard when a relationship is falling apart. It's hard when your finances aren't lining up with where you thought they would be. It's hard when your life situation is not playing out as you saw fit. So how do you do it? How do you live a lifestyle of praise and worship in the midst of it? How did David do it? He realized who to magnify. Verse 3 was, come and magnify the Lord. Come and glorify. Come and exalt his name together. In those moments is the vertical axis of praise. It's not focused on me. It's not focused on you. It's not focused on our circumstances. We give praise to God because he is always worthy. He is always deserving. Our praise is focused on, to, and for him. So look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's not about you. Look at your other neighbor and say, neighbor, it's not about you either. Because first and foremost, our praise and our worship isn't about how I feel or how you feel or what I need or what you need. Ultimately, our praise and our worship is for him, to him, in that moment. We turn our focus and our gaze and our attention to the one who is always worthy, always deserving in the hard season or the good season. It is the vertical axis that we have to get right first. That's why we can say, I will bless the Lord. So, why is it important? When I start to praise and I start to say even today, God, you are worthy of it all. How great is our God? It starts to remind my mind. It goes on repeat in my mind. It starts to transfer from my mind to my heart, to my spirit. I start to believe the truth and understand the truth because it awakens his word and the seed that is within me. And in that moment, I start to say, you know what? Maybe my God is worthy. Maybe my God is great. Maybe my God is the one who I can seek, and I know he will find a way because there is nothing that he can't do. It plays on repeat as we magnify him. We become occupied with him and his greatness instead of being preoccupied with ourselves and our circumstances. How many have ever got preoccupied with your circumstances before? If your hand's not up or you're not thinking about it, you're a liar. We've all had it. I've had it. You've had it. Because sometimes life is hard. Sometimes life is scary. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's overwhelming. And the good news is Jesus told it would be at times. He said that there would be trials. There would be temptations. There would be some hard seasons, as we talked even earlier in our series. But we have the truth that when we remember who he is, what he's done, what he says about us, what he promises over our lives and through our lives and for our future, all of a sudden we begin to magnify on who he is. And those other things get smaller. The whispers and lies of the enemy starts to get quieter. And the truth of Scripture, the truth of the Word of God starts to get louder. And we start to come into agreement in our mind, in our spirit, and then into our actions that this is truth. We don't praise because life is always good. We praise because God is always good. Let me repeat that to you one more time. We don't praise because life is always good. We praise because God is always good. I grew up, I got a little bit of age on some in this place, and some I know you're a little bit older than me, but that's okay. But many of us remember this truth. God is good, and all the time. See, you guys knew that. In those moments, we said that, but do we believe it? Do we truly believe it? When we give him worship, when the times are tough, when are tough around us, in those moments we should be reminded that God is good, and all the time God is good. Because we're not praising because life is always good, we're praising because God is always good. That's where we have our hope. That's where we have our life. That's where we find our peace. That's where we find our conviction and our commitment, and that's where we get our testimony. That's what David is reminding us here today, that we can lean in there, because whatever you focus on will start to feel bigger. So the question I want to ask you today to sort of ponder and let the Holy Spirit speak to you is this. What are you magnifying in your life? What do you have that magnifying glass out for? What are you looking at right now? Are you magnifying fear, shame, guilt, anger, worry, anxiety? Are all those things just running rampant and they're being magnified in every choice you're dictating? It's changing how you live. It's changing your thought patterns. It's changing how you relate with others. Or today, are you saying, I will? Doesn't mean it's not there. I'm not putting my head in the sand. But I'm choosing today, I will bless the Lord. I will posture my heart. I will posture my heart ready to bless you at all times, God. Because when I turn my focus and my eyes and my gaze towards you, what is true, what is life-giving, all of a sudden it starts to transform me. In those moments, we have to turn our eyes towards him, because in every season and circumstance, you have the choice of what you will magnify. It's a choice. What are you choosing today to magnify? What story are you telling through your words, through your actions, through your life? And then I love what he says in verse 4 as we're working our way through it. He goes, and as he starts to praise, he says, I sought the Lord, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he freed me. Worship is about blessing and honoring God. But out of his goodness, out of his mercy, out of his abounding love, out of his grace, the great part is the vertical axis goes both ways, that as we posture our heart towards him as the good father, the one who meets us and runs to us, the one who hears and responds, he says, I want to bless you. It doesn't always mean that you're going to get what you ask for. Understand. Don't write that in the margin and those things. If I ask for something, I'm automatically going to get it. God knows what's best for you. Sometimes what we're asking for is not best. Some of those guys or girls that you're like, I really want to date them. He's saying, no, you don't. What you're asking for and what you're looking for might not be what God's best plan is for your life. But we still seek him. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. There's such a promise in that. There's so much hope in that. Then our hardest times. Remember, in the context of where David is writing this, a text without context is dangerous, but a text with context, you sit there and say, David is saying this while he's acting insane. In those moments, drool's running down his face. He's scraping there. He's in enemy territory. Everybody is after him. He's in the worst of worst times, but out of the worst of worst times comes one of the greatest songs of worship that we ever had. Because he sought the Lord. He heard, and he answered. When we lift up our praise and lifestyle and song, we are reminded of who he is, and as a result, breakthrough comes and our fear begins to flee. We see it in Psalm 100, Psalm 103, Psalm 105. This is a recurring theme throughout the Psalms. Seek him. In your worst of seasons, seek him. He hears you. Let his praise be on your lips. But there's more. Not only is it a choice, not only should we magnify the right thing, don't magnify the fear, don't magnify the circumstance, but magnify the God who is greater than the circumstance. But then there becomes a communal aspect to this. Because as we're learning, we're actually having a little theology of praise and worship as well through this. David is teaching. He's a good teacher. And as he's teaching his way through this, for it to be on repeat for the generations to come, not only is he telling us how we should respond, but he's giving us a bit of a discipleship model. And so he goes and he shifts how he says this in verse 3. Before, he says, I will bless the Lord. In verse 3, he says, come, let us do it. It's a challenge of saying, come and let us magnify the Lord together. Come, let us exalt his name. Come, let us join together. So what the challenge of our third truth is, come magnify the Lord with me. So today in that journey, when you're walking through what seems like hell and you choose to say, I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord in all things. What you are saying through your actions and through your words is, come magnify the Lord with me. You're challenging the person next to you. You're challenging your kids or your grandparents or a loved one or a colleague or a classmate or a friend that knows what you're walking through, and they can't understand why you have hope and why you have life and why you have peace through the troubled seasons of life. How can you have this? We can sit there and show them through our praise and through our actions the truth of where they should magnify. And David is saying that in our lives. He first started with the vertical axis of praise. All praise is to him, for him. But then he starts with the horizontal axis. And that's what we're doing here today even. That's what he's challenging us to do on a daily basis. Is that it's not just about me, it's not just about you. It's about us together. It's not about what our culture would say. It's all about me. Instead, in the kingdom, it's all about the we. It's about him first and then us together. We see in the New Testament that it moves from a very individualistic movement to actually a communal movement. And David has already given us a precursor, because praise isn't just personal, it's communal. We see even in Colossians 16, verse 17, it says this: "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it in all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Then I will hold my head high above my enemies who surround me. At his sanctuary, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music." Your praise and my praise, given to a God who is always worthy, helps those around you see him differently. I remember one of the stories of a lady who made a huge impact in my life. And I remember her telling the story, because I just got to know her just after this point of her journey. She had lost her husband at a fairly young age. She was still filled with hope and with joy. God had set her free from an addiction. God had been so faithful, but she'd gone through some heartache. Then she got a diagnosis that she was battling cancer, and it wasn't going to look that great. I remember talking to her, she told me after the account, and she said, "I was so frustrated, but I knew that God was always good. And they had a plan in the midst of it, and if my plan was, you know, that I would see him in glory earlier than I had planned, then that was his plan. But," she said, "I was going to seek him for healing." And she said, "I kept praying that he would heal me." And she said, "The interesting part is he didn't do it in a supernatural way." She said, "I had to keep going to the hospital, keep going and getting treatments, keep going and being there. And the first few days," she says, "I was so miserable." She said, "I was kind of mad at God. Like, God, why would you allow this to happen? Why would you place me here? Why didn't you already take enough from my life?" And then this individual, she sat there and she said, "It was like God got my heart and turned the focus on all the goodness of our God." And she said, "I looked around in that room," and she says, "I know who he is. I know my future. I know my home, whether here or in eternity. I know who I am. Does everybody else in this room know that?" And her change. So when she would come in, she says, "I came in with such a joy and a hop in my step, even when I didn't feel like it," because she said, "I knew that God had me." And she said, "I remember sitting in some of the chairs along that journey and sitting in the different processes that were going on." And she said, "Over time, one of the people that would always sit there next," she says, "you know, blank, where do you have this hope? Why can you sing one of the old hymns under your voice? I don't even know what that song is, but why do you keep singing under your voice?" And she says, "Oh, that's my hope. That's my peace." And she ended up leading numbers of the others who were going through that journey to Jesus Christ. She's still living today. God didn't miraculously heal her, but she used the medical field and the wisdom of doctors and that to bring, you know, restoration to her body. But the whole journey that came was the horizontal axis of her praise, that her praise in word, her praise in action, her praise in how she lived her life allowed other people to see the goodness of her God, the hope of her God, the grace and the mercy of her God. The question I have today is, are we saying, "Come and let us magnify the Lord together"? Are we saying that to other people? Are we displaying that to other people? Are you transforming other lives around you? Are you invoking faith to rise within those who don't know him yet? Through your life and through your praise, you may be walking through a trial. You may be walking through the tough season, not only for your personal growth, but actually in the midst of that, that while you praise through that season, those around you take notice and say, "There's something peculiar. There's something different about that person. I need to find out what it is." Because as we said in that joke, when we said to one another, it's not all about me and it's not all about you, it's all about Him. In that journey, He's reforming us. He's forming us. He's changing us. He's transforming us. But He's also trying to impact others. There's a journey that comes here in that moment that when we worship with our lives and our bodies, we remind one another of God's goodness, of His power, of His love, of His holiness. When we do that, it changes those around Him. Think back for a second as we think of the progressive movement of worship and praise. David, one who was after God's own heart, showing that it doesn't mean you have to be perfect, because he had some screw-up moments. But his heart pursued Him. He says, you're my one thing. His heart was filled with praise ever on his lips. We see that he had this group that would follow him, the mighty men. David's men that journeyed with him, they walked with him through the toughest of seasons. As we see later on of how they lived and how they responded, they walked with a courage and a boldness that only came from realizing who God truly was and who was leading them, who was directing them, who was discipling them. David, your life is influencing and discipling those around you, not just on the gram, not just on other forms of social media. You are an influencer. Your praise and your worship is influencing those around you. It's sparking on and leading people to that truth of, who should I magnify? Where should I turn my focus? Before we land this plane this morning, I want to take you through the movement of praise, and this happens in everything that we do. It's a bit of a progressive journey of discipleship, because it's more than just actually talking about ourselves, but intentionally walking others through it. In verse 1, he says, it's his commitment. I will bless the Lord at all times. Verse number 2 is his testimony. My soul, it makes its boast in the Lord. Number 3, we see an invitation, which is glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Magnify the Lord with me. And verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. We've made our commitment. Then our praise and our worship is our testimony that my boast is not in me, my boast is in the Lord. Then we invite others into that journey. We say, come and taste and see. Come and experience the goodness that we've encountered. Come and partake. Come and magnify the Lord with me. And then in verse 11, we see at the end of this, come children, listen to me. I will teach you. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Because there's a challenge that it's not just about you. The discipleship journey is, I made a commitment. I have a testimony. I'm inviting you into that dance. I'm inviting you into that journey. But come and walk with me. The things when it's tough, when it's rough, I'm still going to bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that is within me. Because when we do that, we're helping others and we're teaching others how to walk through the trials and walk through the hard times of their life. Because someone else has did it with us. That's the journey that we need to live through and walk through. Because your worship today may become someone else's faith journey. Think about this as we close. Your kids may learn how to trust God because they watched you worship when life was hard. Many times we think our kids aren't watching. They see the good and the bad. When we worship when times are tough and when they're hard and we do it genuinely, they see that our place of trust, our place of hope, is Jesus. Someone sitting beside you right now that you said it's not about you two, they may discover hope because they hear you declare that God is still good. Those individuals heard this lady in those treatment centers. They heard her declare that God is still good, and because of her, faith erupted in them. In your workplace, things might not be going as you see fit. It might be hard, but give him praise. Let it ever be on your lips, and the person next to you might actually erupt in faith because of you. Never underestimate what your praise can produce in someone else. In a world that loves to magnify all the wrong things, church, let it be said of us as individuals and us as a church that we magnify him. That I will bless the Lord, that everything that is upon my lips will be praise and glory and honor to my King. Why? Because he's always worthy. He's always deserving. And then from that position and that posture of praise, we would say, come and let us magnify the Lord together. Church, I don't know about you, but that's my heart's cry. Come and let us magnify the Lord together, because he's always worthy. He's always deserving. Church, would you stand and would you pray with me this morning? Lord, today we thank you for who you are. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is without error, that we can stand on it. Lord, today I love the part of your word that doesn't hide the hard seasons from us. Lord, we see David walking through the hard season, but he gives us a truth that can live on repeat in our lives and in our hearts. That today, no matter the circumstance that we are walking through, no matter what is going on around us, today our posture and our default setting is to not let it dictate our life, not let it dictate our path, but today we make the choice, the intentional choice, to say, I will worship in the midst of it. I will bless the Lord at all times with all that is within me. Lord, today I pray by your Spirit that you would give us the strength, that when everything else tries to get our attention and our focus, that you would put blinders upon our eyes, that we would only see you. God, that we would know that truth, that we don't praise because life is always good. We praise because you are always good. So today, remind us of your goodness. Remind us of your grace and your mercy. Remind us that you are abounding and overflowing in love. Today, our prayer as individuals and as a church is that your praise would ever be on our lips. And God, that you would help us then to say, let us magnify the Lord together. Let us help those around us when they're walking through tough seasons to see the goodness of our God. That we would point people to the truth that we've encountered, that we need you, Jesus, as our Lord and our Savior. That the only way to freedom, the only way to new life, the only way to eternity is through you, Jesus. Lord, help us walk in that truth and help us share that truth this week as we go. Be the center of everything we do and say. And Lord, today we commit that your praise will ever be on our lips. We ask all of these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And we said together, church, amen and amen. Be blessed, church. We love you.